And a good afternoon to you. I am Kevin Rounsing in for Michael Knight, your News Radio 560 KPQ time, 12:15. And despite the different voice behind the microphone, it is the same agenda. And today our special guest is going to be Bill Lehman. He is the co-author of a new book called Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Pexman. And there's a big release party this Wednesday over at the Wenatchee Museum and Cultural Center celebrating this book. And good afternoon, Bill.
Hello. Glad to be here.
You're written down as William. You introduced yourself as Bill, so I'm assuming we're going with Bill.
Bill is just fine.
Okay. Bill, why don't you tell me a little bit about this book?
Well, Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Speckman is a hero's journey. One of its features is that it connects all of the geologic and cultural landforms into one heroic journey and story. Red Star and Blue Star are two figures, they're twin figures, who take on defeating Speckman, who is a water monster or a water dragon, kind of a shapeshifter. He devoured everything in the land, and so the creator felt as though that it was time for Speckman to move on to the next house, not be in the land. And so that story revolves around how these two young boys, twins, are going to take on a terrifying monster that lives in the river, and he actually lives just north of where the railroad bridge that crosses the Columbia River is. That's where he hangs out.
Oh, well, it's good to know if I'm ever down in that area.
Well, fortunately, Red Star and Blue Star did the work for you because there's no more specimen there, but we can see his head right there.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, it makes it. Well, I'm trying to think now. Now I have to pay attention the next time I go by.
Well, that's the thing about this book is that, you know, once you associate these landmarks that we all know as kind of interesting landmarks, part of the joy of living in the Wenatchee Valley is we have these great landforms. They all have cultural stories, but they haven't really been told to the general public or known very much until Randy Lewis came to town.
Now, why don't we talk a little bit about Randy Lewis, because you're listed as the co-author, Randy Lewis, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the other part of that last name.
Kayaxin.
Yeah, Kayaxin. Okay. Why don't you tell me a little bit about him and sort of where these stories come from?
Well, Randy grew up in the Wenatchee Heights area. He had lived in Celilo Falls until about age 9, and then he spent from 9 years old to about 16 or 17, living with his grandfather, Jerome Miller. And Jerome Miller is related to the first family, the Sam Miller family, that founded Miller Freer Trading Post. So Randy's roots go very, very deep into Wenatchee, not just with Jerome, but also an extended family. He's a member of the Colville Confederated Tribes, and he identifies himself as being Wenatchee Pasquasa, and Methow, and mid-Columbia bands. He growing up, was surrounded by an extended family who throughout the winter, because they didn't have TV or anything like that, they told stories, a long winter cycle of stories. And this story, Red Star and Blue Star, is one of those things that he learned in his native language. So he's one of the few that really is a fluent native speaker. He's an elder. He has an amazing background. Randy moved back this June from Seattle, where he was working as a really lead framer for a framing shop, and worked with many, many famous people, including. He told me a story about how he did some framing for George O'Keefe. So he has an extensive background. He's been very much involved in Native American kind of movement. He was the founder of Daybreak Center, which was part of a takeover in Seattle by Indian people of the Discovery Park, Fort Lawton area. And it was awarded and designated as Indian land that is shared by the United Tribes of Seattle. He helped found that. And he was involved in Frank's Landing and a lot of the epic stories that have to do with the history of Native American in the Pacific Northwest. So he's really a person who has a lot of stature. He's an amazing storyteller. And he's very rooted and committed to being in Wenatchee because this is his homeland.
When you talk about that, so these stories that you guys are wrote this book about on Wednesday, are these all stories from his childhood and essentially his tribe, yeah, or is this a collection of things?
Well, my piece is that I'm just writing an introduction, and I did the design work and a lot of the photography for the book. Randy's is really the primary teller in the book. And this story takes place from clear up near Knapp's Landing, where Spexman's tail ended up, to up the Stamilt, where his ribs can be seen today, to where the claws of Spexman, this water monster, sticks out of the river, and you can see that as part of the story. So when they take on Spexman, these twin figures that we were talking about earlier, they were able to enrage Spexman so much that you know, he just flew up the river. He went right through Earthquake Point, and you can see his blood trail, if you're familiar with Earthquake Point, right on the rock. You know, it's just a streak of red. That's his where he was leaving blood after he had been successfully speared by Red Star and Blue Star. There are other characters in the story as well that figure in. But the nice thing is that this story is a very optimistic story in the sense that its teaching is that young people can take on a great purpose and do a thing for the rest of humanity that is very daunting in nature, but once done, it's made a difference. So I think it's a story with a lot of moral aspects to it, as are many Native stories that you hear.
And it's amazing, too, because these stories are generations old. They've been told from, maybe
Absolutely.
It's father to son or grandmother to son or daughter. And these are stories that have lasted, since
eons,
before any of us were around or thoughts of anybody around.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and they're deep stories in that, you know, the stories are about the time before humans even came onto the land and adopted human form. It's a time when the animal people were around, and they didn't necessarily have a bodily presence, but they were there, and the animal people were preparing the world for the humans to come, and those animal people would get into the kinds of issues and conflicts that we all face, and it's very animated in listening to these stories because, you know, they're gripping stories. They've been shaped by generations, as you say.
And part of this event that you guys are having on Wednesday over at the museum, it's 7 o'clock Wednesday night over at the Museum and Cultural Center on South Mission, is you're going to have a little bit of a live reading, I understand it.
Yeah, Randy's going to tell the story. I'm going to give an introduction to the work of the Native River Fund, which is one of the sponsors that of the museum. It's a part of the museum that funds projects that foster strong relationships between our museum and Plateau people. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but mostly it's going to be Randy retelling the story. And then books will be for sale for $15 a piece. This book that has both the photography that shows the different body parts of Spexman, but also tell the story of the big role that Sparrowhawk plays, because Sparrowhawk, he was a slave of Spexman, this water monster, and he had to sit on top of his head and go up and hover above his head every morning to look for who would be available to eat or devour or whatnot. And he had to be talked into by Coyote and Red Star, Blue Star, kind of going against Spexman, which was a daunting thing because Spexman said that, you know, if you ever cross me, then I will make you go extinct.
Well, that's always kind of a nice thing, too, because, yeah, you have the heroes of the story, which are Red Star and Blue Star, obviously.
Right.
They're the ones that get the title.
Yeah.
But it's like every hero's story. There's people along the way that also have to show a level of courage. And so that's another thing.
And help.
I think that would be another thing. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be the big star, the one that saves the day. But you do have to have a little bit of courage to maybe help that person along their way, and that's going to
be... Oh, indeed, and that's one of the points of the story, because the twins are, after they were born at the confluence of the Wenatchee and Columbia Rivers, they were shepherded away to a cave in Moses Coulee, and they were led deep into the cave, where then the animal people, one by one, would teach them their power songs to get, so help them gain strength, because... they had such important work to do after they came out of the cave. They were there for 4 or 5 years of initiation, so every animal, and the smallest animal, shrew, had very important kind of song to give, because the shrew could go down in places and it had a poisonous bite, the smallest mammal, and yet it had a poisonous bite, and that poison was going to be helpful too. So, you know, the emphasis of the story is actually, it's not necessarily the big people that make things happen. It's the people that are there in our communities that have all these gifts to give, and they just need to be recognized.
Talking with Bill Lehman, the co-author of the book Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Specsmen. We'll have a big event Wednesday night at the Wenatchee Valley Museum and Cultural Center. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Mr. Lehman about this book and the event on Wednesday, and a little bit more about the Columbia River Fund as well. You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. Kevin Rounds filling in for Michael Knight today on The Agenda. Our very special guest is Bill Lehman. He is the co-author of a book, The Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Pecksmen. He wrote the book with Wenatchee Elder Randy Lewis Kayaksen. Kayaksen? All right. And there's going to be a release party at the Wenatchee Valley Museum and Cultural Center over on Mission Street Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And now you guys are, this is part of like a process you guys do to sort of celebrate the river. Is this,
you know, the when we first came to Wenatchee, my wife and I, Susan, we came across the George Cellar Bridge and we stopped at the railroad locomotive that's down there, locomotive, what, 1147 Great Northern. And there were petroglyphs at the base of the locomotive behind a chain link fence. And that seemed odd to us that there would be petroglyphs associated with a steam locomotive. So we approached the museum about that and asked, well, what gives with that? And they had just moved into their new building at the old post office. And they kind of were busy with the pioneer time. But eventually the museum director, Bill Stewart, he came to me and he said, well, if you want to do something with those petroglyphs, then you're going to have to head it up. So we got a petroglyph exhibit established at the museum. And the petroglyphs came from Rock Island. Rock Island was a major fishing area prior to Rock Island Dam going in way back in 1930, 31, 32. And so I was interested in kind of getting the historical photographs of the island, understanding where those petroglyphs really were from. And that began kind of my work in terms of historical photography of the river. It led to a children's exhibit, and then it led to a book, Native River, the Mid-Columbia Remembered. And then from there, we branched out and decided, let's establish a fund to support and foster relationships with Plateau Indian peoples, and let's add to our collections and do some more exhibits and do some fun things. And the next fun thing that we did turned out to be the 2008 Apple Blossom Parade, which was just, it was so much fun, because Randy, the person who's the co-author of this book, he played a major figure in the parade. The theme for our float was Coyote Leads the Salmon Up the River. It was amazing that in all the years of Apple Blossom, there had never been Native Americans in the parade. So we decided we wanted to do something about that. And the Native River Fund, which was established from the proceeds of the book Native River, the Columbia Remembered, was able to help provide some seed money, and they've done a number of projects since then. The Coyote Leads the Salmon Up the River aluminum sculpture that's at Walla Walla Park, that was one of our projects. But the parade was great, because his mother, Mary Marchand, a very revered elder in the Colville Confederated Tribes, she and her brother, Lewis, were the kind of the the people we were honoring in our float. And we had 40 different people who were in formation with big salmon hats. And Randy would come and he would lead us down the parade route. But every once in a while, he'd bop us on the head and we'd have to flail on this street because he had to feed the salmon to different communities that had treated him well. That was part of the story of Coyote Leads the Salmon Up the River. So we had a great day that day. The elders, waved eagle feathers, and they were blessing our valley. And so this whole effort has been, how do we welcome indigenous presence, native presence into our community? And that's what the Native River Fund is about with the museum. We want to foster relationships with Indian peoples of the plateau to provide something that we need in Wenatchee, because, you know, when we came, it was sort of like, where are the Indian people? You know, they were once here. They lived here. They thrived here. They had, you know, big councils at the confluence of the Columbia and the Wenatchee River. Where are they? And so that's part of what our mission was, is to bring back a Native presence. We've done a number of projects through the years since, 1995. And this is just one of those projects that we have.
What has been the response from the community, whether it's the non-Native or the Native community, as you've been trying to build this kind of bridge almost between the two communities and trying to remind people of who has been here? And
yeah, and interestingly, the bridge to the communities came through the work of understanding the Columbia River prior to its development through hydroelectricity. Because those photographs are the photographs of their original places, of their place on the river and whatnot. And that really helped foster relationships. When we did the entire river through the book River of Memory, The Everlasting Columbia, we approached different culture committees of tribes up and down the river, and we brought gifts so that we wanted to hear their stories and have them represented in the book that goes from the source of the river at Canal Flats all the way up to the Big Bend area and then back down through Castle Rock and Kettle Falls and clear out through the Wallula Gap to the ocean. So having those relationships, going up to visit Cranbrook and the Tanaha Nation and the Spokane Nation and the Colville Nation. We were representing the museum. We had an Honoring the Elders Day after and during the River of Memory exhibit, and we had 250 Native people representing five different languages. And up in the gallery where we showed these photographs, there were prayers in all those languages. And that was something that meant a lot to Native people. And the exhibit itself traveled to Nelson, B.C. It traveled to the Royal British Columbia Museum and to Mastalik down in Oregon, the Washington State Historic Society. So it was a hugely successful exhibit that won a lot of praise.
Now, what are some of the other projects that you guys are working on with this Native River Fund that people maybe want to get involved in?
Well, Randy is writing a curriculum with a committee for teaching in third grade, which will begin this winter. We're also interested in the plans that are in store for the Confluence area itself, where Haran Natural Area is. That's just been made a top priority from our community people. And there's going to be the potential of a lot of mitigation money from the PUD relicensing, as well as from a potential new highway that will cross the Wenatchee River.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I would imagine the Columbia River, you got a lot of different stories when you went and talked to different people based on where they were. You know, I mean, I would imagine from all the way up into what is Canada now, but didn't have a name back then, to as you went through, you probably got a lot of different versions of the origin of the river and kind of the source of the river.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A lot of versions of the coyote leading the salmon up the river. You know, we're kind of in a unique spot, Kevin, in that we look both downriver toward the ocean, but also upriver. So we're in a position to kind of appreciate both the lower river as well as the upper river. And that's, you know, part of what makes living in Wenatchee special.
It is, and it's so beautiful. You and I were talking before we went on the air just about how pretty it is. I mean, unfortunately, the clouds cover up most of the beauty today, but just in general, there's just, I mean, it's, I love driving up the river.
Yeah. Well, the clouds offer surprises sometimes, you know, when you're, when you see kind of a, above the lower cloud level, all of a sudden a mountain will appear or a hill will appear. And sometimes the way the clouds are kind of wrap themselves around the trees, that's interesting. You know, that's beautiful in its own way.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. You can get above the clouds. Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. No, but I get to drive up I call football games and basketball games for Cashmere, and they're often. Which means we get to go up to Omak and Okanagan.
Yeah.
And you're along the river the whole time.
You are.
You get to go, you know, we're on the, you know, depending on which side you end up on or going up to Chelan, you get to be right along the river. And it's just gorgeous to go up there. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And it'll be fun. I actually kind of want to get this book now, because then I can pester my broadcast partner the whole time going, okay, so that over there.
yeah, exactly.
when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with Bill Lehman about Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Pexman. The book release party will be taking place this Wednesday night over at the Wenatchee Museum and Cultural Center on Mission Street, beginning at 7 o'clock. It is going to be a really interesting book. News Radio 560 KPQ time, 1240. News Radio 560 KPQ getting ready to wrap up the agenda. Our very special guest today, Bill Lehman, co-author of the Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Pexman. Story is actually the story of Randy Lewis Kaxon. He is one of the Wenatchee elders, a member of the Colville Confederated Tribes. And you guys on Wednesday are going to be doing this really cool book release party over at the museum beginning at 7 o'clock. What are some of the things that are going to take place over at that book release party?
Well, we'll have books available for sale. They're $15 a piece. They're small books. They're not large books, but they are well illustrated with photographs of the area and these landmarks that the story is about. And we'll talk a little bit about the projects the museum has been involved with over the years that have welcomed Native American presence back into our valley. And Randy and I will be available to sign books, and people will be able to visit with each other. The museum is a wonderful, welcoming place.
Is it different? I know that you guys are doing a reading. Is it different to hear the story as told by somebody who's kind of that storyteller?
Oh, my. Yeah. You take it out of oral tradition into a written form, which is the book. And part of Randy's desire to make sure this book is published is that these stories need to be kept alive. And that's a way to do it is to put them in print. But, you know, every time I've heard him tell this story 8 or 9 times, and every time it's a bit different. I learn new things from it. So it's some of it, it just comes out of what's there in the moment. And that's how they've always been, because oral traditions, stories are very pliable. It's not as though they're set in stone. They're subject to, a lot of different, twists and turns that incorporate, lessons that need to be learned and ways that the stories have morphed from one generation to the other. It's a different experience, and so Randy will give a version of it in his retelling, and we'll all be surprised and delighted to hear him, because he's a great storyteller.
So what you're saying is the print on the pages may not exactly match up to his version.
Oh, sure, for sure it won't.
let's remind folks just real quickly what Red Star and Blue Star Defeat Spexman is about, in case they missed the first part of our conversation.
Well, this is a hero's journey in that Red Star and Blue Star were twins born at the confluence of the Wenatchee River, and they were whisked away into a cave where they learned the power songs of different animals that were around, animals big and small. And with the power, Coyote then helps them take on a water monster, dragon, slayer, shape-shifting, feared being, primitive being, to defeat him so that it makes the world safe for humans to live here. And so it's a hero's journey where it involves the help from a sparrowhawk and the help from a hummingbird it's a story that has lessons, and it's a very positive story for people who have something that they need to do that's important You know, there are still monsters that need to be slayed in our time.
Whether they're like physical challenges or
mental, yes.
Or mental challenges, we all have to deal with something in our lives. And that, yeah. That whether it feels like a water dragon that you have to defeat, or maybe it's just something smaller, but you could just use a little bit of extra courage to get through it.
Absolutely.
Again, that'll take place Wednesday night. The book release party is then Red Star and Defeat and Blue Star Defeat Specsman. The story by Randy Lewis Kayakson, also with Bill Lehman involved in there. You wrote the intro?
I wrote the intro and did the design and some of the photography of it.
So that is going to take place Wednesday night over at the Wenatchee Valley Museum and Cultural Center. Are the books for sale now, or is that really truly the book release party?
That's the book release party. They'll okay. be available then.
So people can't go pick this up now.
Well, you know, they might have them out at the museum store now. I'm not in charge of the inventory. We just got them back from the printer last week.
Oh, okay. Well, Bill, thank you so much for swinging by today. This sounds like a very fascinating book, and as somebody who has driven large portions of the river at various times in my life, I'd be very fascinated to flip through it, and as the next time I drive by a particular landmark, be able to go, oh, okay, I can associate now a story with that particular landmark.
Yeah, who of us does not love the river?
Oh, I still want to just put in one place and just go down the river the whole time, but I feel like that's like a 3-month journey or something.
It'd be a big journey.
Bill Lehman, thank you so much for swinging by today, and I wish you the best of luck. Unfortunately, it's past my bedtime when you hold these events at 7 o'clock at night. But I look forward to going over to the museum at some point, grabbing that book and taking a look.
Take good care.